Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this splendid day?
Good morning, Tom. I'm well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We have a lot of things to talk about this morning. Let's start right out with the Edna G. presentation by Paul Lamar at a special meeting of the City Council.
Yeah, I don't have to tell you, Tom, it was a really exciting, super fun, deeply interesting, and potentially one that could change the future of the Edna G, within my lifetime and the waterfront as well. So Paul Lamar is a marine consultant who specializes specifically in historic preservation of water vessels, and even more specifically seems to be quite a specialist in tugboats and the historic preservation of tugboats. He has a really long vitae. I can't go into the whole thing, but he's been there and done that when it comes to old tugs. He even is a captain of a historic tug. Is that correct,
Tom? Yes, that is.
Yeah. So, and he loves the Edna G. So with all this knowledge that Paul Lamar brought to this report, which was a long time coming, he's had a lot of other things crop up in his life before he could make this presentation to the City Council in Two Harbors. But he loves the Edna G, and on top of everything else, which it was just so clear when he was talking about that. So he has this great depth of knowledge that pertains to the situation. And I had to share on the front page a painting that his father had done in 1982 of the Edna G in the Two Harbors Harbor with the Richard V. Lindaberry, a boat I had never heard of before. But I was really pleased that he shared that with us. I'm going to try and summarize and say, Paul feels strongly that the city remove their ownership of the tug and move it to the friends of the Edna G, who he credits, including Tom by name, with keeping the Edna G in as splendid shape as she is in. So that was a very strong recommendation on Paul's part, as well as he strongly recommended that the boat, that plans be made to move it out of the water as a shoreside, a land attraction that could be a great gathering place for the community and visitors. So that's the short story. What do you want to add, Tom?
Well, I will make one correction regarding the ownership of the tug. The city would continue to be the owner of the tug, but he wanted the management of the tug to be turned over to the Friends of the Edna G. Since the city administration is up to their neck in alligators already, they don't need to deal with managing the tug, but the Friends of the Edna G was organized pretty much for that purpose. And so it was an acknowledgement of the value and virtue of the Friends of the Edna G and the tug commission. And everything else was
a shared relationship.
Okay. Sure. Everything else was pretty much on target. Because the tug is on the National Historic Register, there's a delicate dance between having the tug on display and turning it into a statue in the park. The one is good, the other is bad. And so there's a dance between finding the right balance of how the tug will be displayed. And because I can talk and talk, what I should do is shut up and let us move on to your next piece about State Representative Zalesnikar and State Senator Hochschild sharing the stage at the high school recently. This was a story by Katja Gordon.
Indeed, and the details of which Katja shared in an article, specifically what topics were discussed, the questions posed by the audience that were requests for either one of these elected officials to address. I would like to point out and continually encourage and be encouraged by the fact that Hochschild and Zalesnikar appear to continue to be willing to work together, to share a stage, to work across the aisle. They do not agree on everything, but they're very willing to have open communication. One's a Democrat and one's a Republican. And I find that very positive. And as a community, that they're willing to come here. They have plans in April to come back for another town hall. I don't have the date yet on that or the topics, but they did talk about education. And also, well, they touched on many topics, but that was the premise. So go ahead and read the details from Katya. Remind people that both of those individuals, plus Representative Scraba, are making regular contributions to Lake County Press to stay in touch with voters and constituents. And regardless of who you voted for, I have had all three of those people tell me they realize they work for all of us and they want to hear from all of us. So please stay in touch with them, everybody.
You bet. They did show professional collegiality at that meeting, and they were courteous towards each other. And even though they have significant ideological differences, it does set a reasonably good example for how we should make a deliberate effort to get along with each other. And so we should move on to a piece by Chris Belfield talking about the Vietnam veterans being celebrated Saturday at the American Legion.
Right on. So I have to revise that. As I'm looking at my notes and Chris's article, which he was happy to contribute to us, I am needing to correct myself from the notes I gave you earlier today, Tom. The open house that is open to everyone to celebrate the contributions of Vietnam veterans and their families is on Wednesday, March 29th. So I apologize for that. Wednesday, March 29th is the open house at the American Legion in Two Harbors from 11 to 5 o'clock. And it's to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. And so Chris did a great job writing about this. And this is a complex issue because we tend to sort of make issues black and white as in terms of veterans and wars and conflicts and military issues. And Chris does such a beautiful job of opening the door on the whole human experience. And he wants everyone to come. And there will be displays explaining a lot of the different details of the Vietnam War and people involved in it and contributions that are made. It's not entirely about just thanking our Vietnam veterans. That is part of it. But also to learn more, to understand more about the complexity of it and the results of it. And so, and to celebrate the end of the war, which I think anyone can get behind. So it's a really interesting and complex issue and event. This is the second time, the second year that this American Legion in Two Harbors has held this. I really encourage people to check it out. So again, Wednesday, March 29th.
Okay, very good. I was a little bit puzzled about that myself. I thinking this was something that had already happened, having not actually seen the paper myself. So this is the event that is to come in the very near future, like next week, right?
You got it.
Okay, good. And Mr. Belfield is a Air Force veteran of the era, and so he will be speaking from a fairly direct reference. So his words will have a little bit more weight than ordinary. And so our next piece is about Miss Helmy and the St. Erho's Day beauty contest.
Yeah, so this is fun and serious, and I just wanted to take a minute to tell everyone who's listening how much I appreciate that the Lake County Press that myself as an editorial staff person had the right to make the decision to put the winner of the Miss Helmy contest on our front page. So Miss Helmy is a long tradition of individuals dressing in typically gender-identified women's clothes. They get glammed up to the heels. And that's part of the St. Erho's tradition in Finland. It's a lot of fun. We included a picture of all the contestants, who include Boge the Beauty Queen, Sally Sharpshooter, Rockin' Roxanne, and Redneck Rhonda. And so that's the fun part of it. This is a celebration of goofiness, of silliness, of embracing life. That's what St. Erho's is all about. And I just want to mention that there have recently legislation in our country has banned the ability for transgender displays. I find that to be incredibly upsetting, and I'm really grateful that in Minnesota we still have the right to engage in these sort of activities and that I can still put them on the front of the paper.
Sure, especially something like this where the tongue is planted firmly in cheek and in the finest comedic tradition of our nation and comedians everywhere. And I think maybe let's go to something a little bit more serious now. The Friends of the Library is asking for books. There are fundraisers conducted by the Friends of the Library to support or help support the mission of the library. And what better way to do that than by making available at an extremely agreeable cost the very thing that the library specializes in.
Right, you are, Tom. You've said a mouthful there. So some of us who live in the area are very familiar with the Two Harbors Public Library, Friends of the Library book sales. They are epic. I myself have picked up some wonderful books, bags of books over the years from those sales. It's been going on for many years. Sometimes there's more than one sale. And there's a new twist to this. One of the things that has changed is that the Friends of the Library, who indeed their proceeds go to support activities at the library directly that all of us can benefit from, they used to be able to store a lot of books and collect them as donations and found treasures over the course of months or a year. And they had a location at the library where they could do that. That changed during the pandemic. There was a great deal of rearranging and reorganizing, and the Friends lost the bulk of their storage space. And I was told by Jan O'Donnell, who's on the board of the Friends of the Library, that during the pandemic and that change, they had to give away tons of books to a thrift organization in Chicago that accepted those. Tons, I said. Yes, tons. But they just had to move them on out. That means that now for their upcoming spring sale, they will not have enough books to sell. Now, I know it's spring's coming on. We're all starting to get the cleaning bug. So if you are looking at your shelves and maybe like at my house, my floors, where there are stacks of books that have been well-read already and I'm ready to give them a new home, box them up, bring them down to the library. If you have a big truckload or a garage full of books, you better call Jan. Her number is located in the article. So this would be a huge help. We're putting out a call for donated used books that are gently used and in decent shape still, and they would go to benefit the next sale coming up here real soon.
You bet. I myself have taken part in schlepping these books out, the ones which do not get sold, and it is a sight to behold. And yes, if you are a friend of books, if you know someone who reads or is a reader, yes, this is for you. And you get a grocery sack full of books for cheap, so do it. Our final piece here apparently is a preview talking about the special meeting of the City Council dealing with the Lighthouse Point project.
Yep, I just wanted to sneak this one in because it's kind of fallen between our production days because this week's paper has already gone to the printer. So on Wednesday night, March 22nd, do I have that date correct? Yes, March 22nd, there was a special meeting of the Two Harbors City Council. A good portion of the meeting was specifically to meet with the developers, the three gentlemen so far that have been directly identified as being potential purchasers and developers and construction for a proposed development on Lighthouse Point, pardon me. So this is an opportunity for the City Council to ask some questions. I walked away after about an hour of listening to the council and the developers interacting with more questions. So it did sound by the end of the meeting, however, that the City Council intends to place this on their agenda for Monday, March 27th, to be approved. That's kind of the language that I understood that it'll be, to move forward to the next step. So what might be approved on Monday, March 27th, would be the initial proposed concept plan of a 26-unit PUD with a higher density and a commercial building. So, and I don't have to tell you this, Tom, but the idea behind this is that it's a very, very early phase sort of approval. I do feel like there were more questions asked last night that didn't have sufficient answers made to them by the developers. I'm hoping to talk to Ted Stocky, who is the construction person delineated by the potential purchaser, Jack Lax. And sometime today, Ted said he would talk to me and try and get some more answers. I'm still unclear about the public benefit of a PUD, about several other issues related to height. And so I think there's a lot more questions, I guess. And I expect that it may well be approved on Monday the 27th. However, there was some conversation by Councillor Kathy Erickson sort of reserving the right to table it at that point if necessary. They're chasing a deadline, the 60-day application deadline where the city needs to come back with an answer before it dies. It's already been extended as far as it can. That expires on April 15th. That would give the council until April 10th to make a decision on this first step.
Yes. I'm a three-ball juggler with four balls in the air, basically. I have an interest in this, and I have to be circumspect about what I say on this topic. There are many questions that need to be answered and other questions that need to be asked. And so it's important for everybody to pay attention to what's going on with this.
For sure.
Well, is there anything else that you have? Otherwise, we'll close out.
There's always more to the story, Tom, but I'll keep it for next week.
Okay. I always need to check, you know. To our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, thank you as well. And bye for now.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.